Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome everyone to another exciting edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
Well, how you been, Bev?
Oh, I've been good. Good, good. Trying to avoid some of this nasty weather, but we get what we get and we don't throw a fit, right?
That is right. It has been nasty, though. And I understand it's going to get a little worse this weekend. So.
Yes, I talked to my daughter today who lives in Kansas City, and they got quite a bit of snow, and her kids, they went out and built a snow igloo, and the Husky is loving it.
Okay, all right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our guest today, I tell you, if it goes like what I hope it goes like, you can give me the credit, but if it goes bad, you can blame Bev. How's that, Bev?
Sure, why not?
Now, really, Bev is the one that's really responsible for getting our guest to come on today. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just excited to have as our guest here today, Nate Freeman, here on Meet the People of MCB. How you doing, Nate?
Oh, well, hanging in there, doing the best I can with what I got.
Okay.
Dealing with the two children who didn't have school either yesterday or today.
Oh, that's always fun.
Oh, yeah.
Just wait till it's a whole week, Nate.
Yeah, right.
They're done that.
Yeah. All right. So talk to us about your family, Nate. Tell us, so how long you been married and how many kids do you have?
Well, first off, again, my name is Nate Freeman. I've been with MCB for God forever. Been married now 13 years, coming up on 14. I've been together with my wife 18 years. And we have two children, ages soon to be 8 and 3. A little girl and a little boy.
And their names?
Mackenzie Freeman and Russell Freeman.
Okay, all right. I like Mackenzie. I like that name. Yeah, okay.
That's so like you think. It's M-C-K.
Okay. All right. Okay.
With the Irish style spelling.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So talk to us a little bit about your extended family, your brothers.
I've got a sister and a brother-in-law.
Okay.
Well, everybody knows my sister, Jessica. She actually has a little boy now, too, who is 2.
Uh-huh.
His name is Rowan, and he's just a wonderful little kid.
Uh-huh.
And then my wife's family, she has an older sister, and she's married. They've been married, I want to say, about 18 years now, and they have 2 children as well, 2 boys.
Oh, okay. And your parents?
Still alive, divorced, and... My dad remarried, and my mother is still single.
Oh, okay. All right. And are they all close by? You get to visit them?
My mom is actually at my house right now watching my kids while I'm doing this.
Okay.
That's close.
She literally lives right down the road. And then my dad's brother lives about 15 minutes away. I call home. Troy, Missouri is where I call home right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Okay. So, Bev, I'm going to turn it over to you. I know you always got a lot of fun questions to ask.
Oh, goodness. And, you know, Nate, we didn't talk a little bit about your work. And the whole family works at GM, don't they?
For the most part, yeah. I do. My cousin Sean does. My Uncle Pat does. And my brother-in-law actually does, too. So,
Wow.
My dad's been retired from GM for coming up on 25 years.
Wow. Time goes by so fast because, gosh, I remember when you were all just kids running around, and especially getting to know you at camp. And Jessica, your sister, she was this cutest little redheaded girl with her bag of candy going around, sharing her candy with everyone.
Still has the bag of candy.
Yeah, she still has that bag of candy. New candy, so, I hope.
New candy. But yeah, anytime I see her, she's always chomping on something or giving Rowan something, you know, her son. So.
Yes, and oh my gosh, time does go by awfully fast, but I love it that you and your family still come to Cobblestone as members of Missouri Council and just staying in touch, you know, with us there too, and the memories that we have and reminiscing. I love doing that with you, Nate.
Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if people don't know it already, your grandma, Edna Freeman, she was the first president of Missouri Council when I first joined. She encouraged me to join St. Charles Council, and she was my mentor, you know, and I just felt so proud to follow her footsteps, so to speak. Like you and I have talked, those are big footsteps to follow, but she meant a lot to me.
Sometimes you feel like you're walking in the shadow of a giant.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And yeah, I wanted to be.
I remember those days too. I remember a lot of those days.
Yes.
But
yes.
She was definitely a mentor to a lot of people, and it didn't take much.
It didn't.
Well, she certainly was for me as well. I have actually have her to blame way back there when, because I remember a time when we attended the ACB Legislative Seminar in Washington, D.C. We went, first of all, to the president's meeting. So we're sitting there in the president's meeting. And so when they go around the room introducing each other, she tells her name. And then I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to sit there and stay, you know, be quiet. But she says, and this is Chip Haley. He's our next president in waiting. And I just like, do what? You know, I thought she really dropped the bomb on me. I was like, oh, where'd that come from? You know,
she knew, and I
followed her right after I became president from 2000-2004, way back there then.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it I blame on her college education. She mastered in psychology and minored in sociology, so you know you weren't going to win an argument with her at all. Even if you thought you had the upper hand, she would always turn it around on you.
You know, Nate, I remember meeting her mother, your grandma too, Mary.
Grandma, yeah.
Yep, and she was so proud of your mom, or your grandma, I mean, and.
There wasn't a soul around who wasn't proud of her.
I know. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit of how your grandma lost her sight?
Well, from what I have been told, she lost her sight at the age of 6. She had retinal detachment.
Oh. Okay.
However, that did not stop her.
Yeah.
At all. Still, as a child, played on the river, went fishing, did everything, went to school, went to college, and everything else. And what gets me is even being blind, totally, mm-hmm. still worked for the state in the unemployment office before computers for 22 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So to be able to do your job in that kind of an environment and being blind tells a lot about a person.
Yes, it does. It sure does. You know, we think we've got barriers now to prove that we can do the job with employment, but just what it was like even at that time was even probably 10 times harder.
Well, my grandmother, you know, this is what I actually wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it. My grandmother actually always told myself and the rest of my family, don't let your disability be a curse, but instead let it be your strength. She taught me how to focus my mind to solve one problem and then the next. So, you know, you took things in stride. You did one problem at a time. You know, you don't worry about the end. You don't worry about the whole goal. You just worry about the one thing sitting in front of you, and then you worry about the next.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she tackled life. And it never stopped her. She, you know, even though she couldn't drive, she found ways to get around, mm-hmm. did things on her own. But she was always a person of the world. Let's just say that much.
Yeah. Well, like I said, she meant a lot to me. And, you know, when she got me to join St. Charles Council in December, and then by April, they were looking for elections to run for president, and she nominated me. And I said, Edna, I don't know everybody's names yet. Shouldn't I get to know people first? And she said, oh, we'll take care of you. We'll help you out. You'll be fine. So she kind of led me, and boy, that meant a lot to me.
She helped me out a lot in growing up, at least through, you know, school, because, you know, I didn't have the best grades in the world. I had difficulties as well, especially with a learning disability. But she had a way of breaking things down so that anybody could understand anything.
Wow. Good. Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I, you know, everybody, you know, laughs at me, you know, not anymore, but, you know, they used to laugh at me because I knew how to cook. And then they'd ask me, well, where'd you learn how to cook? And I said, my grandmother, who was blind. And they're like, and you can cook this good? Yeah, there's nothing else to do, guys. You just follow the instructions and do what you're told.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, good for her. Good for her. And I know family was very important to her, too. You know, and
yeah,
having
really.
Your family there at Cobblestone,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yes.
with Pam and Patrick and your mom and dad, Mitch and Lisa, and the kids. Oh, my gosh. I love all the Freemans.
Mm-hmm. When it came to Cobblestone, you know, I was 8 years old when MCB went back.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it was, I thought it was neat that, you know, my sister and I got to go twice a year because Grandpa was on the camp committee.
Yeah.
For so many years. So we went in June and got to see everybody there. And then in July, you know, our parents came. And then later on, Pat and his family came. So, you know, that was fun. It got a little crazy. And I do apologize to everybody who had to put up with us for that long. In July, there were 6 Freeman kids along with 6 adults. So there were 12 Freemans running around that entire camp. I do remember one time, Chip, that your wife started throwing water balloons at us.
Uh-huh.
And I managed to snag one in midair, and it didn't burst in my hand, and I threw it right back at her.
I'll have to remind her of that.
See if your wife remembers that.
yeah. Well, I think, Nate, you must have been in your, I don't know, maybe mid-teens, maybe a little bit younger, but the first time I met you, and we were at Cobblestone, and Sean and you and my youngest son, Tyler, got really acquainted and became pretty good friends. And it was at night, and I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, my wife just lost it. She started screaming and hollering. She jumped
there,
up on the...
I remember that.
Yes,
there was a lizard running around
that's
in
right,
your cabin.
That's right. That's right. That
and
is
the next
right.
thing I know, Tyler's running down, and, hey, I need you guys' help.
Right.
Me and Sean come running out. I'm just like, what the heck's going on?
That's right.
And see all the things that we, you know, the experiences that we have at Cobblestone and the good memories that we have, and what a wonderful program that Missouri Council provides with camp. And you know, when I first went, I wanted my husband and three kids to meet other families that had somebody in the family that was blind and understand that they weren't the only ones. So it was just so good for them too. And my girls still talk about, they call it blind camp. And that bothered me. I thought, no, you don't go there to learn to be blind.
Well, I took a big interest in it. And for the longest time, it took me a little bit. It took me a couple of years to learn. But I did learn Braille eventually. I haven't used it in years. But, you know, my grandmother taught me how to read it and write it as well. It was just some other kind of communication. And I'm kind of glad that I did, because later on, when I became a volunteer, we actually had a blind person in the area I was a volunteer at. And one day, we had a run-in. He had a medical emergency, so we had to figure out what he was taking and everything else, and everything was labeled in Braille, and nobody else around could figure it out.
Oh.
And I go, get it here. I looked at his paperwork that he had done himself,
uh-huh.
and started looking at it and feeling it, and it was like, okay, well, he takes this medication this time of day and this medication this time of day. And I looked at what time it was, and it said, he may not have had this one because the bottle's empty. I'm not sure. And, you know, when they got him to the hospital, it turns out the medication that the bottle was empty was one that he had just ran out of, and he didn't have it for that day. And so they got him to the point where, you know, he could talk again. I didn't win an award. I didn't want one. They offered one to me. I didn't take it. I'm like, you know, this is what I signed up for. This is what I do. So I'm thankful to my grandmother that was one thing that I did learn.
Yeah.
Out of the many things that I did. And it, you know, I never thought it would come in handy, but I took an interest in it and tried it. And luckily it paid off.
You know, Bev, yeah. I love hearing that story. You've got someone here who is sighted that takes that initiative to learn Braille in order to communicate with someone who's blind or visually impaired. I was going to a rehabilitation center, I had a family, a church that I used to attend, their daughter, well, the pastor's daughter, learned how to do Braille, read Braille and write Braille and all that. And so while I was away, she would send me a Braille letter and we would communicate that way. I mean, just for someone to be sighted and take that initiative to want to learn Braille, I think that's just extra special.
Yes, and look how it paid off for Nate.
You bet.
Well, it paid off in other ways, too. In middle school, Bev's heard me talk about my best friend, Miles. And him and I are both firefighters right now with two different departments. But, you know, Miles knew my grandmother as well, and he's close enough. He could be a brother to me. We've known each other almost 25 years. But we had a friend in middle school who was legally blind, could still see, but he had a special machine that would let his textbooks be, you know, enlarged and brightened up enough so that he could read it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wanted to kind of just stay away from him because, mm-hmm. you know, he was different. I'm like, you know, we're not going to play this game. And so him and I, we took initiative and became real good friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we pushed him to be better. He always wanted to be better in any way, and he wanted to make friends. Well, you know, through middle school, we were his friends, and in high school, he still remained with us. And he actually, Miles wound up pushing him more than anything else to join the wrestling team.
Hmm.
And he actually wound up taking finished first place in state GAC finals our freshman year of high school. Sophomore year. And so, you know, he was always thankful to us because we never saw his disability as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
So we acknowledged it. We understood it, but we never treated him any different than we would have treated anybody else.
That's great.
That was one thing that, you know, growing up in this kind of a family, you understand, so don't let it happen. Be nice to the guy, and it'll turn around for you. So, you know, we wound up being real good friends with him all through middle school and high school.
Mm-hmm. And you're still in contact with him? And
yeah, I'm not so much. I'm more through Miles. Miles talks to him about once or twice a month, mostly through Facebook. Every now and again, gets a phone call just to check up and see how he's doing. Last I heard, married and a couple kids now. So
yeah. Well, you know, Nate, it's interesting that, you know, here you are a firefighter, and my youngest son Tyler too is a firefighter, and he loves it. He really loves it. Yeah.
Oh, there's no other job like it.
Yeah.
The biggest joke I've heard about firefighters lately is nobody ever goes to the grave wishing they had spent more time at work, except firefighters, but they're not right in the head.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a completely different family. You know, your family becomes a part of a lot bigger family.
Yeah. He's always got some really fascinating stories to tell us from time to time, things that he's done, things that he's seen, but he just thoroughly, thoroughly enjoys it.
Well, Nate, do you have any firefighter stories you want to share? A true one. Don't make it up.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to make up some of them, but, well, there was one fire. Miles and I were on the roof cutting a hole in it for ventilation, and the roof collapsed on us.
Oh, my God.
And we went through the roof. We went through the roof, through the ceiling, and Miles got hung up on a rafter. I missed it, luckily. And we went through the first floor, and we wound up in the basement.
My gosh.
And, I landed first, and then Miles landed on top of me. And, you know, they kept calling on the radio, where are you guys at? You know, are you guys okay? And the chief went running in and found us downstairs. We had landed on a couch.
Oh, my goodness.
And the chief, being a smart guy he was, asked us, you boys need a minute? Get this little guy off me, chief. Let's go. So, you know, it was just one of those times. It was always that particular chief. It was, you know, anything that had to be done that was a little on the sketchy side, he always sent us. There was a railroad bridge out in West Alton, and we got sent across it after some workers were welding on it and caught the railroad ties on fire.
Oh, wow.
We had to walk all the way across it and put the fire out.
Oh, wow.
So that was a fun time.
Mm-hmm. My goodness.
Those are pretty much the exciting stories.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Before we get into anything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to turn it back over. Well, Chip, we're kind of doing this duo today, but if you've got anything particular you want to ask.
Yeah, so Nate, I know you really strike me as a kind of a outdoorsy kind of guy. What kind of things do you like to do?
Hunt, fish, go for hikes. We're pushing our kids to be more outdoorsy. We like taking walks by the river. There's the old lock and dam down in Winfield that we like to go to and look for eagles. And on warm days, we'll go down there and just walk. And, you know, it could be a mile or two, and, you know, sometimes the kids get a little antsy and don't want to do it, and you push them a little bit, and then they'll do it then.
Okay.
But, you know, that's just some of the things I like doing. Some of the best memories I have are hunting and fishing and things like that.
Yeah. I tell you, Nate, you would get along great with Tyler. He loves doing all those things. He really does. He does a lot of it. He loves to go fishing, and, he hadn't done as much hunting, though. He has done some hunting, but he loves to go fishing. And he now has a 12-year-old son, he and his wife, and named Raylor. And we bought a RV a little over a year ago, year and a half ago. And so he and my wife sometimes they go down to Roaring River and they'll take Raylor with them, and they go when I can't go, of course. But they like to go down there and do a lot of fishing, trout fishing, and he travels. He does a lot of traveling too, because he does a lot of training. So do you do a lot of training on your job?
Well, my job, I work for General Motors. So, you know, I do basically just normal line work. But for the fire department, we do have our own training officer who's our assistant chief, and he does really good with it. There are other departments around here that have specialties, and they have other classes that we do get invited to sometimes, and other times we do have instructors coming out from other departments. We actually Jonesburg High Hill, who is the department my friend is with, Miles, they come out once a year and use our burn trailer. We have a 53-foot long trailer that is set up to use propane gas and smoke, you know, like the party type smoke, fog machines, and you can use that as a building simulator. And they come out and we help out with them, and we use it to train their new firefighters, and also the ones that don't get that much experience running calls, we give them a chance to do it, and they just pay basically for the propane.
Okay.
So we do it. We do it once a year as well. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, Nate, I also know, I always find it very interesting that you still love going to camp as much as you do after all these years. I think that's just so wonderful. Now, Bev told me the story that you, on your anniversary, you wanted to go to camp, take your wife to camp for your anniversary.
For honeymoon, wasn't it?
Oh, was that honeymoon?
No, I wasn't going to go that far. I wouldn't be standing here talking to you guys if I did that. I'm crazy, but not like that.
Okay. Well, tell us, Nate. You know, we understand your love for going to camp and all, but as a sighted person, what other services or programs that you really appreciated about MCB? Did you ever? I know you attended some conventions, but what other type of things did you?
I can honestly only remember two conventions I went to, and that was as a child, so I couldn't vote or do anything. I remember the first time my grandma ran for president. I remember sitting in the room when everybody was voting.
Wow.
And then I remember, you know, this was going back some years, the convention in St. Peter's at the old Holiday Inn. They're all at the South Service Road. I remember that.
And that one, Nate, my oldest daughter, Katie, it was the same weekend as homecoming. So her date had to pick her up, you know, at the hotel. And it was a group of them, too. And they came back to the hotel after homecoming. And there goes the dresses. There goes a hairdo. They got their swimsuits on and jumped in the pool.
The other thing, like, you know, Chip, that you were asking that I remember, well, like the Christmas parties at the senior center. Boone Street. And the Thanksgiving in Cape. The Thanksgiving dinners that they used to do down in Cape Girardeau. Grandma was always invited. Grandma was always invited to those, and we drove her down several times.
Well, I remember one time when she was making her president affiliate visits, she did come to Joplin, her and Roy. And I this had to be back. I didn't know her real well. This had to be right about the time I joined back in 1990. And so she was talking to me, and we just struck up a real good friendship. And she got to talking to me about going to the ACB National Conference and Convention. Well, that year I didn't go, but again later, this was now in 93. And so she talked me into going to the ACB National Conference and Convention when I was out in San Francisco. And I mean, I hadn't been a member for just a few short years. I did go. I had just gotten my guide dog. And I think it was I think that was in 1990 as well. But so took my dog out there, Gunner. I went out there by myself, me and my dog. I didn't know anybody. But, you know, your grandma was there, a lot of the folks from MCB. I tell you what, times back there then were so different than what they are today. But, you know, she talked to me, and she just kind of like took me under her wings, and she started talking to me about things. And when she was talking to me about going to the ACB National Conference and Convention, and I'm like, I don't know about that. Because I really didn't have the money to go out there. And, you know, she said, well, don't worry about it. You know, we'll get it, the money for you. You know, MCB will pay your way and all that kind of. And they did, you know. But I can just recall so many times like that, that she just kind of took me under her wings.
She had a way of finding people that would do the most good at what they're good at. She could find somebody real quick on, you know, if you had a problem, she could find somebody on how to solve that problem.
And she continued, you know, she wanted to make sure that Missouri Council had this leadership, you know, you train the next person, you know, to do that same job, you know, because you can't do it all. You know, and that's what I love about Missouri Council, too, is the teamwork, how we work together. And Edna made sure that she passed on everything she knew to others that she had the faith in that would be able to carry the torch.
Yep.
She did a lot.
Yeah, she did. And you know what? Also, what was really good about it, Nate, was that Roy was also right there with her, supporting her all along the way. He was also really involved with MCB. So I thought that was really great.
Grandpa had a way. He was more one of those people that like to stay in the shadows and not be much up front and let the people who are more attuned to being up front, like Grandma, to take the spotlight, and he just kind of stay in the background.
Right.
But if you needed something done, like being a driver, you know, he had a chauffeur license. He could drive dang near anything unless it was, you know, an 18-wheeler. You know, he could drive what you needed. It's the same way with me. I can drive anything but an 18-wheeler. You know, I've driven box trucks for companies and personal and helping other people move. But you know, that was him. You needed somebody to take an account of line van. Grandpa was your guy.
Well, Bev, I don't know if you knew it or not, but Roy and I had the same birth date, December 14th.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh wow. How old would Roy be now, Nate? Do you know?
Do the math for you real quick. 24. 92.
Oh, 92. Wow.
It'd be 92 this year.
Wow. I didn't know he was that
December,
old.
He would be 92 years old. He was born in 1932.
Oh, wow. I did not know he was that old. Okay.
Yeah. We lost him too young in his life.
Yeah.
Your grandma too.
Yeah. You bet.
And grandma was 35.
I know Edna always felt really bad because after she was done being president, I followed her I was elected in 2000. And she felt really bad because she was hoping to remain on the board in some fashion so that she could kind of help lead and give me guidance and direction. And she always felt bad about that. But I always told her, I called her, you know, a lot back there in those days, because I didn't know, I had no clue what I was even doing. So I leaned on her pretty good, even though she wasn't on the board. Still, I leaned on her, and she was always there to offer such good advice and tell me, because I mean, I'd get shook up by the littlest thing. I mean, things would come and I had no idea what I was doing. So I'd call her and she'd just, you know, get me to, you know, calm down. It's going to be okay. You know, it's not that big a deal, you know, and all those different kind of things. So she was always right there for me. So like we were talking about earlier, she was, you know, my mentor at the time. And, so I owe her just such a great deal.
I spent a lot of time with both of my grandparents growing up, both my sister and I did. Our parents never stopped us from seeing them. You know, my mom can tell you too, that, you know, even if we were grounded at home, they never stopped us from going to go see our grandparents, because, you know, Dad had his grandparents with him all, you know, for the longest time. And that was the rock that kind of kept us all together. So, you know, we were always allowed to go see our grandparents.
And I admire that.
My grandparents were gone, so we tried to stay together as much as we could.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're a close-knit family, and I admired that, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not as much as we used to be, but...
Mm.
Well, you know, too, the other thing, that not only did I have a close working relationship with your grandma, but with regard to the Missouri Council of the Blind, but we also was on the statewide rehabilitation council together with a lot of the members of MCB. And she served as the chair from time to time, and Kenny Emmons did as well. Mm-hmm. And I always found that very interesting. Like during the 90s, it was like, Edna would be president for a while, then Kenny, and then Edna'd come back and she'd be president again.
I remember those days. That I also my fondest memories were after she got done being president with MCB, and she went on to Missouri Department of Transportation. And she did that for a while and got a lot of cleaned up a lot of the handicap laws and things like that, and then she went on to the Parks Department.
Yeah, I didn't either.
She went on to that and got a lot of the handicap laws and regulations changed for the state parks.
Oh, wow!
One part of her job was she had to go around to these state parks and make sure that the laws and the changes were being done. So we got to tag along every now and again to go see these state parks. You know, things that, you know, we had read about, you know, in books and things like that. And that was couple things I wanted to say, you know, that my grandfather did for us was, you know, growing up, you know, with them, you know, Grandpa had a lot of rules. A lot of things that he wanted to teach you. But the three that stuck out to me more than anything else were, one, it's okay to chase perfection as long as you know you'll never be perfect.
Good.
You know, I remember times too. We went to Washington, D.C. together on a couple of trips. Your grandma, grandpa.
Yeah, I remember my dad going with you.
That's right.
One time.
Yeah. Oh, we had a lot of fun. Bill, Linda Burris, and one year, I think there was like 12 of us that went, and it snowed. I mean, we got like, I don't know, like 3 or 4 foot of snow in just a matter of like less than a couple hours or something like that. It came down hard. And it was really interesting because we were trying to get together, back together with him to catch the van to the airport. And my wife and I were stuck. I can't remember where we were. I think we were at the Bureau of Engraving, and we were trying to hail a cab so that we could get back to the hotel, get our luggage, and get to the airport. And but it all worked out. We all got back to the airport. We got on the plane, and we just it was always so fun to go into Washington, D.C. with your grandparents.
Dad told me one time, Grandpa couldn't go. I think he just had back surgery or something. And so Dad went instead with Grandma to D.C., and they were using the underground tunnels to get around.
Yeah.
And somebody told him to go up here and turn right or left or one of the two, and, you know, go through the door, and you'll be right where you need to go. Well, apparently they got the directions mixed up, or the person that gave them the directions gave them the wrong door to go through. They went through, and the next thing you know, Dad and Grandma had rifles pointed at them. Well, you're not supposed to be here. Okay, well.
That was the sign of the first mistake.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. But, you know, that's how we were, you know, did things. Everything was always outdoors. You know, we never, parks department, we'd traveling around, seeing all the different parks. And, you know, those were the times that I remember the most, other than camp.
Okay, Nate, do we have your grandma to thank for the Braille signage at Blanchette Park in St. Charles?
I don't know. I would imagine so, with the law of the rules and regulations and the laws that she got changed.
Mm-hmm.
I know when, I want to say when she was doing it, they took us out to Elephant Rocks, and Elephant Rocks has it all.
Wow. And I do remember that being a big deal at Blanchette Park. You know, it was one of the first ones who had that done. And Barbara Borgmeyer at that time, too, was very involved with St. Charles Council.
Yes. Yeah, I remember her. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
so.
One of the other things we really have to thank Edna for is our MCB office where we're located. She, I think, was the one that actually found that location, and she got the contractors to go in there, make a lot of changes, and to get it all done for free.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they were able to go in there and do a lot of the work in there, the carpeting, I mean, everything. And a lot of that was done for free.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. She knew how to take care of things. And
she sure did. She sure did.
She knew how to take care of things, and she knew how to talk her way around it, too. But I can remember she actually didn't have an answer for a question for somebody one time on fire safety.
Uh-huh.
They were looking for somebody had asked her for a pamphlet or something on fire safety, like how to change smoke detector batteries, things like that. Mm-hmm. And I was 13 or 14 at the time, and we were getting ready. I was an explorer with the fire department at the department my dad was on, and we were getting ready to go to the IChiefs convention, the International Fire Chiefs Convention in Kansas City.
Hmm.
And Grandma had asked us to look around and see if they had had anything, and we looked for 2 days, and we couldn't find anything in Braille or audio or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought it up to our class of explorers and said, hey, we all know that they don't have anything for Braille or audio book on fire safety in the home. Why don't we make one?
Yep.
And everybody's like, can we do that? I'm like, yeah, all we got to do is take a pamphlet or two from the stuff that we hand out and have the state converted over to Braille and audiobook. We can hand it out at the next MCB convention, and I think we actually did in Joplin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Cool. Yeah.
I don't know if we still have any of those around. We got to go through our storage lockers to see about trying to find one. But I know we did that. We handed out every audio book that we had. We were handing out bags left and right to anybody who was coming in that was part of MCB to check it out.
On fire safety.
On fire safety in the home.
Yep. All right, Chip.
We don't have a whole lot of time left here, Nate. So let me ask you, Nate, what would you consider your legacy? If you have a legacy, or what would you like for people to remember you? Is there anything about yourself that you want people, not that you're going to die today or tomorrow, I'm not saying that, but is there anything about you that you would like to be noted for?
The only thing I can come up with is what I've told, you know, my closest friends. If you need me for anything, it could be 3 a.m. or 5 p.m, call me, tell me you have a problem, and I will come running. And, you know, I've always been a person that, you know, will help if able to. And that's one thing I loved about camp. It gave me a sense of not so much being accepted, but yes, I was. I know that. But it gave me more of a duty and an honor to be able to help, because that was the rule Grandpa had always told us.
Yeah.
You help us unpack first, then you go around and help out everybody else. After that, you can have fun.
Yeah.
Work always came first.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yep, and I know when we're at Cobblestone, I can depend on Nate too, you know. Mm-hmm. So we are very honored to have you as one of our members.
I do what I can when I can. That's all I'm able to do right now.
Well, Bev, do you have any questions for Nate in closing before we have to?
In closing. Your hobby. Well, we talked about fishing, you know, but do you have any other hobby? Do you knit?
I haven't done it in a long time.
Oh my gosh, do you really?
But I do know how to crochet. I haven't done it in a long time, but I do know how to crochet.
Wow.
I love it, Nate.
I like puzzles. I like video games. We do that on occasion, you know, with my wife and I will play video games with a couple friends online. But for the most part, I just like being outside.
Well, really, with an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old, it's probably hard to find time to do anything for yourself.
it gets to a point, you know, we don't have much family that can actually take them overnight so that my wife and I can actually have time to ourselves.
Yeah, well, tell your mom.
Last year for our anniversary, we had 2.5 hours for our anniversary. That was it, without the kids.
Well, tell your mom how much we appreciate her stepping in today to help out so we could get this interview.
Yes.
I enjoyed it. I like Beth said, I was a little reluctant to do it. Because like I said previously, you know, I'm one of those kinds of guys that just likes to be in the shadows and only come out when I'm needed.
Yeah.
Well, you were needed. We needed you. So thank you so much, Nate.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
Yep. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Bev and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden at 636-561-6947.
You never know. You might hear yourself next time right here on Meet the People of MCB. And thanks, Nate, for being our special guest here today on Meet the People of MCB.
Well, my pleasure.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Goodbye.